From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to America's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. We'll have open lines for you later tonight. In this hour, you will also hear the actual voice of the late American prophet Edgar Cayce. Never before broadcasted, it's very difficult to hear him. This tape is over 70 years old. But you're going to have an opportunity to hear a little snippet of the prophet Edgar Cayce. He was giving somebody a reading in 1934 on a health-related issue, but it's just incredible to hear him. You can hear his Kentucky accent, Edgar Cayce. So that'll be this hour. And next hour, why are some people monsters? No, not like Frankenstein, but diabolical, evil monsters. Guest Philip Carlo, a master profiler, will be talking to him for the rest of the Coast to Coast program next hour. Well, President Bush has opened the gates for spending a whopping $286.4 billion over 6 years on roads and bridges, rail and bus facilities, bike paths and recreational trails, saying the projects from coast to coast would spur the economy and save lives. Now, critics say that the 1,000-page transportation bill was weighed down with pet projects to benefit nearly every member of Congress. The bill's price tag was $30 billion more than Bush had recommended, but he said he was proud to sign it. I just hope that we will have people driving cars with this kind of a highway bill, because let me tell you, the price of fuel is going through the roof. Oil prices rising $65 a barrel, just continuing to zoom. Why the latest rally? Well, there's threat about output. Everybody's concerned about adequate levels of fuel in its inventory to offset routine supply disruptions. There's even talk now that the airplane industry will have difficulty getting fuel. Flights have not been canceled yet, but it might be getting close. Is it real? Is it a scam just to drive the prices up? Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Well, word tonight that Philip Klass has died at the age of 86 after 3 years of being ill. Philip Klass was an editor at Aviation Week McGraw-Hill for many years. Inside the UFO community, he was best known as a debunker and became something of a legend. He was known not only for pointing out the obvious hoaxes, but for taking some logical stands on issues where even the facts were not in his favor. Now, regardless of the positions he took on UFO-related issues, because there were some times I heard Philip Klass, and it just drove me nuts. Klass made a name for himself in the field and at very least tried to keep ufology honest, even as he denied that such a field of study should exist. Whatever the truth is about UFOs, aliens, or life after death, Philip Klass may now know the truth, dead at the age of 86. Problems with a new rocket launcher has forced NASA to delay the launch of a new Mars probe by at least one day. The Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, it's called the MRO, now scheduled to take off on Thursday after the discovery of problems with the Atlas V launch rocket. The probe will investigate the history of water on Mars and hunt for landing sites for future manned missions. An asteroid known to astronomers for more than a century has now been found to harbor two small satellites. It is the first asteroid trio ever discovered, and there may be more than three there. The main asteroid, named 87 Sylvia, is one of the largest known to orbit the Sun in the main asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. It is potato-shaped, about 175 miles in diameter, 235 miles long. I hope this thing never hits us. It was discovered in 1866. Their first moon was found 4 years ago. The second one was announced today. The three-rock setup was likely created in a collision, according to astronomers. The bird flu outbreak has now extended its reach in Russian Siberia, spreading to Mongolia and neighboring Kazakhstan, confirming a foul virus found in the Central Asian state could kill humans, they say. Officials say that no people have been infected so far there, but the highly potent, as it's called, H5N1 strain has killed over 50 people in Asia since 2003. Outbreaks in the ex-Soviet bloc raised fears the virus could infect humans and trigger, they say, a global pandemic. How can this be? According to John Rappaport, who continues to look at this story for us, his website, nomorefakenews.com, John believes this is not the case, that it is not going to be a pandemic. As we reported last night on Coast to Coast, while we were on the air, a raging fire burned out of control near Detroit. Thunderous explosions only a few miles away from where my parents live, as a matter of fact, even though they slept through it. The series of ferocious blasts beginning about 9 p.m. out there shook houses, sent rolling flames 300 feet. It was a chemical plant. They had to evacuate at least 1,000 homes in a radius there. Several people went to the hospital for fume-related ailments. Nothing serious. The Arabic television network, Al Arabiya, aired a videotape purportedly by al-Qaeda that shows terrorists training for attacks on the United States and on coalition troops in the mountains of Afghanistan. U.S. intelligence officials said they believe the tape is authentic. The two-hour tape, which Al Arabiya described as a documentary and ran over the weekend, bears the name of Al-Shahab, which is a production company used by al-Qaeda for numerous other videos. Iran has broken all the remaining U.N. seals at its nuclear plant in Isfahan, making it fully operational now. The removal was completed under the supervision of the International Atomic Energy Agency, which has installed equipment to monitor activity. EU countries quickly proposed a resolution to the United Nations nuclear watchdog in Vienna, calling for Iran to stop the nuclear fuel work as soon as possible. But Iran said again that it has a right to develop nuclear technology. A very strange story we continue to monitor. Here's the scenario. A seafaring vessel transporting a 10-kiloton nuclear warhead makes its way into the port off the coast of Charleston, South Carolina. Terrorists aboard the ship attempt to smuggle the warhead off that ship to detonate it. Is this a possibility? Well, the Joint Task Force Civil Support in that area is planning its next exercise on the premise that this crisis is indeed plausible. But I'll tell you what's so strange about this story. The sudden response exercise has been held at Quantico, Virginia in the past, but it has been moved to Fort Monroe in Virginia to maximize command post training time. Now, what's so unusual about this exercise? Well, first and foremost, you know what concerns me. During the tragedy of 9/11, there was an exercise being conducted by the CIA into a plane hitting the Pentagon. Now, they said all along, no, this was not a terrorist training program. We just wanted to see what would happen if a plane went awry and hit the Pentagon. So that was a training exercise going on when that happened. Strange, isn't it? As you well know, listening to this program, London, that had the bombs back on July 7th, the big ones there on their subways and bus, they, too, were conducting a training exercise in that area at that exact time. Strange, isn't it? And now we hear this story of a training exercise on a possibility of the detonation of a nuclear bomb. I don't like that. But what's so unusual, then, about all this? Add this together with a four-star general. He was the head of Fort Monroe's Training and Doctrine Command. This four-star general, his name's Kevin Burns, was fired yesterday, as we reported, apparently for sexual misconduct, according to official sources. He headed up the command that was responsible for training people on this exercise. He's gone. Well, there are several reporters, internet reporters specifically, in this country, who believe there's something else going on. So we turn to Alex Jones, who's been looking into this matter. And we'll be back in a moment with Alex Jones on Coast to Coast AM. Now, this is a story that we will follow up with Alex Jones about in the future because it is breaking today. I wanted to get Alex on the program and have us chat with him for a few minutes about it. Alex Jones, of course, has his own radio talk show, Heads Up, PrisonPlanet.com, Infowars.com, and has this story on his website. Alex, welcome back to Coast to Coast.
George, thank you so much for having me. You know, just a little bit of the background briefly for people. Dick Cheney has said that we're going to be nuked. Michael Chertoff has said it's a great possibility. And you've covered it. I've covered it. We've been very careful. But, I mean, there are wild headlines from CNN to the Washington Post in the last 6 months that, you know, bin Laden for sure has suitcase nukes and he's going to get us. Well, for about a month, I've had a Pentagon source, actually two of them, one in the Pentagon, one at Fort Hood here in Texas, telling me, watch this exercise, that's all we can tell you. They can't tell me too much because it would violate the national security letters they've signed, and I don't want information that violates those agreements. So I let them know up front. But these have been very good sources over the years, and they just said, watch this exercise. Now, they've had a lot of exercises with suitcase nukes or tactical frogs, as they're called, some of the even smaller artillery munitions. They've had these drills before, but I was told a month ago, watch this exercise. And so I just put it on the back burner, mentioned it. I know you've mentioned it. And then Greg Zeminski, who's done a lot of really good reporting, comes out and says, well, I have sources in the Pentagon. And they're saying that he was part of some sort of group of kind of anti-hawks who were against the war, might have been planning to leak information against the administration. I mean, we know that's already happened. They sacked the...
And he being the four-star general.
Yes, and for those that don't know, Commanding General Kevin P. Burns is the commander of all Army training in the country. He is the number four, the Joint Chief for the Army, Shoemaker's number one, and then under him are 11 four-stars. Well,
he was number third, I think, on that entire list, was
yes.
he not? Yeah.
So that makes him number four in the Army, and that would make him about number five in command structure through the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So he's a very, very senior individual, and it had been in the press that he was going through a divorce. So why would they be making him leave over an affair with a woman outside the military? That's not even as serious as a woman in the military. That's very serious. And look, folks, everybody knows who's been around the military. Four-star generals can do basically whatever they want to, unless they shoot their mouths off and say something distasteful. There's only been in the Army one other case of this since MacArthur. In all of the services in the last 50 years, there have been five cases, and usually it's when a admiral makes a racist comment or something. So that's why we're looking at this. And when I first saw this last night, I said, "Well, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not sure on this.
Right? You have to almost tippy toe on this one, Alex. Right?
Exactly. And then I started getting sources calling me in the military, out of the military, other reporters. One of them who writes for the Santa Fe newspaper also has a news show. He's getting this from people, connections to Army intelligence. And so when I start getting people all over the country who aren't talking to each other, and it's information that isn't in the news yet, that always concerns me. And the problem is that we're getting different intel. And someone, regardless, this is coming from the Pentagon. So either the Pentagon, somebody in the Pentagon wants us to be running down this rabbit trail talking about the guns of August and nukes going off, or this is serious and this is real and this could have been used as the cover story, and it could be true that he was removed because he was refusing to go along with something.
Well, what reporter Szymanski is alleging, just so everyone knows, is that he is saying that this four-star general, this is coming from the reporter now, it's not coming from Alex Jones, it's not coming from me, but this reporter who has done some pretty high investigative work on the internet, and his accuracy rate, Alex, is pretty good, isn't it?
I'd say it's about 95%.
All right. What he is saying is that this four-star general was the leader of a faction that was preparing to instigate some kind of a coup in an attempt to prevent further global conflict, and he did not want to go through with this nuke testing exercise because he was afraid that it could be real. Is that right?
Yes, and that would actually fit in for some type of coup or some type of whistleblowing if he got inklings of something real going live with this drill. And listen, this is what's important, and this has been all over the mainstream news. We have major reporters for major publications who are friends of the administration saying that there is an operational command that if there's any type of terror attack, the day it happens, our military is going to use nuclear weapons on Iran. This is confirmed. And why would we attack Iran if we didn't know that they were behind the terror attack and that Cheney's saying get ready for something big in August? And this has been out for 3 weeks, these Guns of August reports. And again, first surfaced in the mainstream media, and we have those articles posted on PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. There's also a link at CoastToCoastAM.com. But right here, a number of political observers and activists today sounded a red alert after allegations surfaced this week that Vice President Dick Cheney had ordered Strategic Command, or STRATCOM, to make contingency plans for a nuclear strike against Iran in the aftermath of another 9/11-type attack on the United States. Cheney's orders first surfaced in an article by Philip Grialdi in the August 1st, 05 issue of the American Conservative. And it goes on to say that that Vice President Dick Cheney from the respective publication office has specified and told the Pentagon that the military should be prepared for an attack on Iran in the immediate aftermath of another 9/11. However, that's not conditional. This is from the conservative publication on Iran actually being involved in the act of terrorism directed against the United States, notes Grialdi's article. The purported statement was then distributed widely as a number of political observers have issued worldwide warning statements declaring Cheney's order to be interpreted as solidifying and sounding the bell for World War III. Oh, and I
all right, now let me ask you this, though, Alex. Has anybody gotten a hold of four-star General Kevin Burns yet? Did they even approach him about this possibility?
There are three Kevin P. Burns in that state. I have called all three. One answered and was a lawyer. The other two weren't home. And so I have been trying to contact them for the last few hours.
I assume, based on what I have heard as of yesterday, that he was fired again for apparent sexual misconduct, and he will not get any of his benefits, and he was getting close to retirement.
In fact, he had announced his retirement 6 months ago. And I pulled up all the Army. Just type his name in, folks. You can get all the press releases, all his speeches, everything. He was already leaving. This doesn't fit. Just there's a lot of indicators here.
It's a strange, strange story.
Well, it is. And regardless, this is all serious because our government is saying brace for atomic or nuclear attack. Not a question of if, but when. We're not saying that. The government is. And I listen to George almost every night. I know George isn't saying that. I'm not either. The government says it. These terrorist press releases say it. And then the government's doing drills. And then I have all these different sources telling me this. There is something real to this. Now, by talking about it, and I know we've done this in the past, it may actually stop something from actually developing.
That's absolutely right, Alex. Absolutely. The mere fact that you've been saying this and putting it on your websites, we've been talking about the very bizarre possibilities of something going wrong here, may stop whomever might be involved in something if there's something there. My point is why take a chance? If we're beginning to hear all these strange things from all these different sources, there's something bizarre here. I mean, we look at coincidences. As you and I know, Alex, we connect dots. We've been doing this now for years in the field we're in. We've done it on 9/11. We've done it on everything. When we talked about all the bizarre things that have happened with these training exercises and these real, actual, horrible events that have occurred, now we get the guy who heads up the division where they're supposed to have the training exercise for the nuke.
Exactly.
It's bizarre.
I mean, the number four person in the entire Army in the command structure at a number five position, and he's about to retire. He's getting a divorce.
And it happens in the month they're going to do the exercise.
Well, supposedly the exercise starts tomorrow or the next day, so it happens just a few days before, and then all of a sudden I'm getting calls. Again, I was told a month ago from a Pentagon and a Fort Hood source, watch this drill. Now, these sources have only given me good. I mean, one of these sources told me 2 months before the Associated Press reported, no one knew about drills on 9/11. 2 months before they reported on that in mid-02, I get a phone call. And then I get another phone call. And I'm told this. Why would these shadowy groups manipulating our government want me to know this? The bad guys are not giving me this info. The good guys are giving me this info, and the same individuals are giving me these new leads. It's very, very frightening. We'll be covering it at InfoWars.com. George, thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Alex, and I want you to get back with us as we follow this training exercise. All right?
Thanks, George.
Alex Jones, a very, very strange story indeed, but I want you to know about it because you're not going to be here about it anyplace else. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment. We'll have open lines for the rest of the hour. Plus, you're about ready to hear, if you can hear it, because it's kind of old and staticky, the voice of the American prophet, Edgar Cayce. Thanks again for Alex Jones joining us at this short notice as we continue to monitor this bizarre story, and we will, along with that training exercise in Charleston, South Carolina. Well, listen to this one. If a grilled cheese sandwich that looks like the Virgin Mary can bring $28,000 on eBay, now someone is thinking, what about a pierogi with the face of Jesus? An Ohio woman hopes to find out. Her name is Donna Lee. She says the image appeared in a pierogi, which is a Polish dumpling, as she was cooking it for Easter dinner at her home near Toledo. She says she kept it in a freezer ever since. Well, now she and her husband have posted this on eBay, starting price $500. Well, as you know, some time ago I had Greg Little on the program. We were talking about the search for Atlantis, and Greg has done some incredible work into that, and also the work of Edgar Cayce, the late American prophet. And during that interview, Greg mentioned that there were some recordings around of Edgar Cayce giving some of his readings. I mean, and they're old. And I said, Greg, you've got to get me one. So he did. It arrived today. We're going to listen to a portion of it. This was recorded in January of 1934 in New York City at a private home. The woman needed some help on health issues, and so Edgar Cayce, in his trance-like state, was giving it to her. I'm telling you this because you really can't hear too much of this. It's staticky, it's old, but you're going to at least hear something that I found to be absolutely fascinating, and that is the voice of Edgar Cayce.
Any stimuli to expect that an stimuli that makes fall the circulation in any portion of the body may clarify, as it were, the cobwebs or cloud forms, the circulatory activity to the brain, which is reached by the circulation through the secondary cardiac forces, as indicated, disturbances of sense, moderation. Moderation would mean, for this body, anywhere from 3 to 6
See, that's Edgar Cayce. Now, you really can't understand what he's saying. I mean, you really have to strain it. I'm sure those of you listening on your radio, it's even harder to hear. But it was just fascinating to hear that voice and know that this person, who I think was incredibly accurate about so many things, it was out there at that time talking about the Hall of Records, Atlantis, what will happen to the coastlines of the United States. I mean, it was just something else. And so we're going to continue following up. Maybe somewhere along the line, there's a better recording somewhere of Edgar Cayce. But that was it, a reading that he did in 1934 in New York City. Father Malachi Martin had an opportunity to appear on Coast to Coast a long time ago. Since his passing, his memory lives on. We have a free CD called Perfect Possession, a great interview done by Art Bell, available to you when you subscribe or renew your After Dark newsletter subscription. A couple ways to do that. Call 1-888-727-5505 or go online at Coast2TO, coasttocoastam.com. Now, when I come back, we'll take the rest of your phone calls and open lines until the top of the hour on Coast to Coast AM.
We'll be right back.
Okay, we're back. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Let's go to the phones. East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Where are you calling from?
This is Tom calling from Norfolk, Virginia.
Hello, Tom. Welcome.
Thank you so much, George. I deeply appreciate you taking my call. My tying into your guest that you had, I wanted to know if you had heard or read any material about Paul L. Williams' book. The book is, and I'm not trying to promote his book.
That's okay. What's the title? Because sometimes these author names go in one ear and out the other.
Right. Osama's Revenge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sure have.
Yeah.
Portions of it. I haven't read the whole book.
But either have I. But it certainly, you know, calls into to question some of the dangers that were faced at this time. And I guess really I was agreeing heavily with, you know, your last guest, and, you know, we're definitely underwhelmed in our search for what's going to happen.
Well, there's no doubt about it. You know, I've got two choices on this program. I can take the high ground and be very easy with the programming and not take any chances and, get to the end of the finish line, believe me. And after a long, long time, it's a heck of a road down there for me. I can do that. That's an easy way out for me, you know, and handle the kinds of things that are just fun and unusual. But there's a part of me that has been with me all my life. Maybe it's because I've been a news person for a long time.
And also maybe because both of us probably grew up through the nuclear threat.
Absolutely. And I just, regardless of where this is all headed, I cannot just simply go on the air every night and pretend that what is going on isn't going on. And I've got to be able to look at this thing with a perspective that if so many of these people are beginning to question things, not just me, we need, and I have an obligation to talk about it on this program so that you at least have an ability to investigate and reason for yourself. I mean, before we started, you know, this is a major radio show, Tommy.
Oh, yes, I know.
Before we started talking about the, you know, and I love Alex Jones, and you know, people like Alex are important to get information, but they don't reach the audience that this program does. And until we started talking about this nuclear exercise in Charleston, South Carolina, I would say most of the population in this country had no idea that this was going on. Well, now I'm getting flooded with emails and messages from people saying, where is it? When is it? Oh, my God. That's part of our responsibility, and that's what I'm going to continue to do.
One of the, I didn't mean to cut you off, but one of the red flags, and I know about Alex Jones, and I've checked him out a little bit, but one of the red flags was the fact that I live right on the bay.
Oh, yes, you do. That's right.
And so I can actually almost see with binoculars.
Are you seeing any strange activity, at least for this training exercise?
It's incredible. My home is actually on the Little Creek Inlet. I don't want to get too specific, but basically I see ships go in and out. I see Coast Guards sitting off of the mouth of the entrance of Little Creek. All the time. There's black ops. There's, we'll hear 50 caliber, 20 caliber machine gun fire late at night.
So you're going to see this exercise when it starts, I would guess.
I'll at least know about it and hear it. It's out in the bay. I can walk out of my house and go five houses down.
Well, I tell you what, you get your binoculars and make sure you call in when all this is beginning to happen in the next few days.
Yeah, see, now what Alex was talking about, or you know, I came in a little late into the game. I caught the tail end of him, and then maybe you can recap real quick. What do I need to look for?
Well, you just need to look for very strange things. That's a good question. What do you need to look for? Because if they're doing a nuke exercise and something goes very, very wrong, you're not going to be looking too much longer, I'm sorry to say, if you know what I mean.
Right. Of course I know. I'll tell you this. What I've seen is a correlation between the terror alerts and the propensity of SEAL activity and also Coast Guard ships a lot of times when the terror alert goes higher, I can look right out my window and there's a cutter sitting right at the mouth of the inlet.
All right, what I want you to do is just to check in with us from time to time and just tell us about the activity that's going on there. That's all. You can help at least paint a picture for us. Let me move on. Thanks for the call. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, Mr. Norrie.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing? Greetings and salutations.
Life is good. Thank you.
I'm Mystic William from Colorado Springs.
Uh-huh.
And I have a couple of pretty unrelated questions that I would like to ask you.
I'll do the best I can to answer them.
Fantastic. Okay, I was wondering, what do you think of Ed Dames' failed shuttle prediction, and does it in any way diminish your faith in what he says?
Well, I have not interviewed Ed that often. I've interviewed him 1.5 times, so one for a program and then half a time when a serial killer was found and his group was doing some remote viewing around the guy's house or in an area. So I don't have a lot of exposure, honestly, with Ed. However, that being said, I think even though he gave us an explanation for the exercise with the shuttle, and he believes that the kill shot is a harbinger of things to come within the next 2 years, I personally think he missed the boat, honestly. I think he was wrong. I don't think a remote viewer is right all the time, and I distinctly recall him saying some time ago on the program that this shuttle was going to have a problem and not come down.
Yeah, and not come down safely.
Now,
I avidly followed that whole thing. I mean, because you know, I was waiting for it to attempt reentry, and if it went down in flames like you said it was going to, I was going to take the family to the basement and start going subterranean.
I think with any of these remote viewers, psychics, the Sean David Mortons, the Sylvia Browns, and the people who come on this program, there's some things that they're very, very accurate about. There are some other things that they are not. And I just want to make sure that when they're on the program, you get both sides of it. That's all. I'm not chastising people for taking their best effort and telling people what's going on. But if they're wrong, they're wrong, and they should say it.
Yeah, that's very true.
All right, thanks for the call. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You are on Coast to Coast. Hi there. We went to East twice, didn't we? That line just keeps flooding. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes, my name is Matt in Bossier City, Louisiana.
Hey, Matt. What's up?
I have a question. Well, I've called to you before, and I think Alex was actually on, but where is it Alex sees this going? I mean, is he basically suggesting armed conflict with our own military is inevitable, or?
No, not necessarily. I think in this particular case, see, what Alex does is he is a accumulator of information.
Right.
Everything he does is based on things he finds in either mainstream media sources or on internet media sources. He puts them together, he reports on it, he broadcasts it, and then he connects his own dots and tries to make up his own mind. I think, you know, let me tell you, go to Alex's websites, prisonplanet.com, infowars.com, and take a look at some of the things he has written about. That'll give you a good perspective of where he thinks things are going. But I'll tell you one thing in just a quick synopsis. I don't think he thinks it's heading the right way. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, this is Teresa in Needles, California.
Hello, Teresa.
I'm so excited over being able to get through. I've been trying for quite a while.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
You don't sound excited.
Well, I am.
All right.
I would like to know, Mr. Norrie, do you actually believe in a Planet X?
I believe that it's very possible. Now, this is a twofold answer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I did not believe that Planet X was going to come rolling by here in May of 2003, as Nancy Leader did,
mm-hmm.
or the Zetas did. I didn't believe that. And I still don't believe that it came roaring through, even though she said it came by on the outskirts. I do believe, however, that it's very possible that there is another major planet, not these little ones they're finding,
mm-hmm.
but another major planet someplace within our solar system that they have not found yet. I happen to be a staunch advocate of the work of Zachariah Sitchin in his interpretation of Sumerian texts. And I think something happened near this planet and on this planet a long, long time ago. And I think it's entirely possible that there is a Planet X type somewhere out there that they just haven't found.
Well, you know, I've read a lot about Ed Casey and his Earth Changes. And often, I've often wondered, before I heard about this Planet X, well, what could cause, you know, our continent to do the things that Edgar Casey claims is going to happen? And, you know, it does sound pretty, well, it sounds like possibly it could happen that way.
If the poles all melt, for example, that alone would cause the rise in the ocean levels to do what he said about the coastlines. I mean, that's frightening all by itself. And, God, there was a report I saw today that said that Siberia is melting away faster than they thought. And it is a huge, it's bigger than two states. It is a huge peat bog area, which gives off methane, which could be just unbearable for us for adding to global warming.
Wow. Well, what about Yellowstone? Do you think that could cause the Earth changes?
Yellowstone has every 600,000 years exploded in a very big way, and it is getting very close to its due date, and it is getting hotter. We have talked about Yellowstone, that caldera, and what could happen if that blew, and that would be devastation for all of us too. But, you know, the way I look at it, I'm not that concerned about us all dying from Earth changes. I'm more concerned about us all dying from idiotic things that people on this planet do.
Really? This Newt thing is really spooky, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I just don't like what I feel.
It's terrible.
All right. Thanks for the call, Teresa. Let's move on next to our first-time caller. Well, west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, I got the answer for the lady before, but I have another thing I want to say, too.
Yeah.
The reason that everything is warming up is because there's more and more pavement and concrete on the world now and less trees. So the world is heating up because of that.
Well, though I believe that this is cyclical. I think this is going to happen on the planet anyway. I think all these things help speed it up a little bit.
That's true, but these things, I mean, they're upsetting the balance.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything we can do to stop a cyclical Earth change. We're just in the time period. That's it.
Those things, yeah, and that's true too. But these things add to it.
Yes.
On top of that, your callers, I mean, I think you guys have, you're off to something definitely for sure. And I've had a lot of, there's been a lot of times where I've had things, I guess you could say deja vu, or I guess you could say visions or whatever like that. But they've all come true, but I've done nothing about them.
Had you reacted to them, you might have been able to probably in some cases get yourself out of a pickle, huh?
Well, it's not me that per se, it's just the world around me.
Sure.
And now what I'm saying is that I am trying to act on those things now, and it's about everything that you've been talking about lately.
It's all happening, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That's what I'm afraid of. Wildcard Lion, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir. Hello.
Yeah, hi, George. This is Nathan in Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Nathan.
Hey, how's it going? Good. I'm actually from St. Louis, where you're living in right now.
Cool. Well, I'm in Los Angeles now, but I'm here 80% of the time, and I go back 20% of the time. I'll go back when the Cardinals are in the World Series.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be another year.
Yeah.
I'm calling about because I moved to Chicago. I've been living here for about a year, and the apartment I'm living in, it turned out I found out that the guy who used to live in it lived in it for about 20 years, and he died 2 weeks before I moved in.
In that apartment he died?
Yeah. In fact, in my room. And I learned about that after talking to my roommates, because my first night here, I had some weird noises, and it creeped me out. And there was a lot of weird things, and I saw, like, shadows. And talked to the guys who live upstairs, and they said that, yeah, there's someone that died in there 2 weeks ago. And I'm mainly calling about the guest you had on a couple nights ago, talking about dreams and the ghosts and the houses and stuff. And literally the past couple months, I've had some of the most vivid dreams where I'm being chased by ghosts, or I don't know, like being attacked in my sleep. And it's been kind of weird. And I would talk to my fiance about it, and when she would stay over here, she would get scared.
Do you think the old guy is haunting you?
I don't know, because it would go through periods. Like when I first moved in, there would like be loud bangings on the windows, or, you know, the lights would flicker.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you going to stay in that apartment?
Well, I'm moving back to St. Louis next year. I'm getting married.
Speed it up.
I know.
Okay,
right?
I got to take this break. Thanks, Nathan. Move to St. Louis. Try to track me down. Call KTRS. I'll show up there every once in a while. I'll be back in a moment with our full interview now with Phil Carlo, Why People Turn Into Monsters. Not monsters, monsters.